We're keeping an eye on Tripoli, where militias backing Muammar Gaddafi fired on protesters leaving Friday prayers today.
My people are dying in here because Muammar Gaddafi is killing us, because we are dying, because we are fighting till we die.
A Libyan protester speaking to the BBC in Tripoli. Well, opposition forces still hold on to most of the eastern part of the country, but are reportedly heading to Tripoli. And as the battle to see who holds final control continues, world markets are watching to see who will control the oil reserves. Today, Spain announced it's going to lower speed limits, cut train ticket prices, and use more biofuel to conserve energy in light of the unrest in Libya. Kevin Hall is national economics correspondent for McClatchy Newspapers. And Kevin, we know that Libya produces only about 1 million barrels of oil a day. It's important to European countries like Spain and Italy, but it's also crucial to the Libyan economy.
To the Libyan economy, it's paramount. It accounts for 25% of GDP, but 95% of their export earnings, anywhere from 70 to 90, but 95 is the most commonly used number.
Well, and that's inside the country, how important it is for the economy. And as we said, it's important to European countries. Saudi Arabia said it will make up for shortfalls, but who will control oil if Gaddafi falls?
That's the million-dollar question. Most of the countries that have oil, with the exception of maybe Mexico and Norway or two that come to mind as exceptions, but most countries with oil tend to be ruled by autocrats. It would be highly unusual but a welcome development if out of all this you had a state oil company whose proceeds actually went to the people.
Why? Because where do they go?
Well, they go, in the case of Gaddafi, they go to his family fortune, and he is believed to have money all over the world, and one of the games in play right now, according to Libyans, is that his sons and family members are getting out of the country and trying to move money around and try to get in secure locations.
So it's not just, you know, who will actually pump the oil, but the whole infrastructure of, you know, where the revenues go from the oil have to be addressed. And you remind us that in Egypt, the military was already deeply involved in the economy. They were, you know, CEOs, in effect, of different businesses before Egypt's government fell, so they could step in. In Libya, it isn't the same. Gaddafi has sort of reduced the role of the military in all civil society. So again,
quite so. Libya has been under sanction for about 25 years. In 2005, it was lifted. In 2006, they opened up to foreign oil, started putting out to bid. Right now, the biggest oil producer there is Eni, the Italian oil producer, but Austria's OMV, the U.S. companies include Chevron, Occidental, and Exxon. Exxon doing offshore oil there. Royal Dutch Shell from the Netherlands. So a lot of this opening exploration was just starting to happen. Interestingly, they were looking to double their oil output to about 3 million barrels per day by 2012. It's pushed back a little bit. So they had a pretty aggressive, the Gaddafi family had a pretty aggressive timetable. I think in the aftermath of all this, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of questioning of the degree to which big oil companies propped him up. I think it's a fair question.
Well, we're reading accounts of Gaddafi calling in the heads of big American oil companies and sort of browbeating them, you know, at different times when he felt that he wasn't getting the proper respect from some of the world's leaders. And they put up with it because they wanted the oil. Might we look to Iraq, though, as an example of what happens next?
That's a great comparison. Iraq had a lot of its oil revenues centralized and through an autocratic regime, so there's that parallel. The difference, I think, in Iraq is that you had the Kurdish minority in the north that was able to control oil post-invasion. And I think the question here, if you look at where the oil is located in Libya, it's all kind of in the northern, across the stretch of the northern part of the country, a good bit of it in the east. So you can envision one scenario in which the east either becomes autonomous or breakaway. But there aren't ethnic ties in the way that there are in Iraq. So I think that it's less complicated in Libya in one way, but in another way, there's no civil society.
Well, on the other hand, maybe something to learn from, the East is pretty much in the hands of the opposition now, and we hear that they are, in fact, running things kind of smoothly.
Yeah. Looks like parts of the system are operating, and I do think most Libyans understand that oil is their lifeblood. And so I think the good news part of this story is if they can pull off this revolution and have some semblance of a democratic government and more expression, that the curse of oil may turn to the blessing of oil.
Kevin Hall, national economics correspondent for McClatchy Newspapers. Thanks so much.
Thanks a lot.